We're going to now focus on the advocacy community relative to health disparities in Massachusetts. This is my disclosure statement that since I'm the person who most impacted by racial ethnic disparities, I have a personal stake in the game, or skin in the game, as they say, that I believe that health care is a social justice and human rights issue. And anybody who gets an email from me knows my signature at the bottom of all forms of inequality and justice in healthcare is the most shocking and inhumane. In 2005, I had the honor of being a keynote speaker at the 4th New England Regional Conference on Minority Health. As you'll see, I don't read slides. I come from the community health center movement, and recognizing that community health centers came into this business around social justice and economic opportunity during the War on Poverty days and the Great Society programs, and have been working on issues of racial ethnic disparities since their inception in 1965. I maintain that the critical issue for civil rights in the 21st century is ensuring health access, equity, and justice for vulnerable populations and the elimination of disparities for racial ethnic populations in our society. Dr. David Satcher, when he was the Surgeon General, came up with this term of the unpopulations, if you will. The underserved community health centers know who that are, who they are. They have to justify getting federal funding by indicating they're serving an unserved area. The undeserved, you know, we've had debates, particularly when we looked at the issues around the creation of Medicare and Medicaid, that certain people didn't deserve health care. We have a system that's based on most people getting their health care through their employers. And people who generally weren't employed, who were on welfare, didn't necessarily deserve it. That's why Medicare is a federal program and Medicaid is a state program that's ultimately administered by the states. And it varies from state to state as to how much you can make to be eligible for a Medicaid. There is a means test to being on Medicaid. So some questions about who's deserving. And then you know all the rest, the underprivileged, the unemployed, the uninsured, underinsured, and what have you. In 2002, Institute of Medicine came out with a report called Unequal Treatment, Confronting Racial Disparities in Healthcare. And basically what they said is that racial ethnic disparities exist in our society and that they occur independently of socioeconomic status, insurance status, and the like. That they, in fact, are part of a larger pattern of racial and ethnic bias in our society, and the question is not in questioning whether or debating whether or not they exist, but in developing and implementing strategies to reduce and eliminate them. I have to apologize. My grandson got a hold of my slide, so he's into animation. I expected these things to just pop up here. So I'm sure you're going to see more through this. Interestingly enough, Massachusetts went through car insurance reform before they went through health insurance reform. And I remember a commercial for one of the new insurance companies entering into the market where it showed a claims adjuster running down the street after someone had just crashed their car with a check in hand. And Amica said, "It's not how you're covered. It's how you're treated." I thought it was an appropriate analogy to apply to healthcare because we recognize it's not a matter how you're covered. You know, access to health insurance does not have an impact on your health status as you're a racial ethnic minority in this population. So the Institute of Medicine did this study in which they sent actors to engage with the clinical system, and they found that people were actually treated differently based on their race. They actually presented the same symptomology, the same medical history, but the outcomes and the treatments were very different. And the only differences between them was a race-based difference. Another seminal event for us as advocates around the issue around health disparities and health equity was the creation of unnatural causes, inequality making us sick. Dr. Marmot opened up the opening session. He has been a featured person in this seven-part series that was shown on PBS. But we used it because number one, we had a Boston crew, a cast and a producer and experts were all located in Boston, and people could recognize and engage with those people when they saw them on the screen. We use it as a tool for organizing and mobilizing community groups and organizations around the state. That's what Critical Mass emanated from. We use various clips for legislative briefings. You know, so as Chris indicated, in our effort to educate legislators about racial ethnic disparities, and unnatural causes was a great way of doing this because it didn't really focus on health issues per se, but it talked about the social determinants of health, and they try to get them beyond recognizing issues around healthcare access, cost of healthcare, and the like. We also use it to maximize opportunity for education and advocacy generally. And then the Boston Public Health Commission, in partnership with the Edward M. Kennedy Academy, which is a charter high school in Boston, actually came up with a youth companion guide. So we even got youth engaged in this issues around health equity. Which car is at it again. In this case, we talk about differences between disparities in health, and you know what they are, basically the incidence rates, as John indicated in many of his slides, versus disparities in healthcare, which is the way the system responds and how the system reacts in terms of delivering healthcare. So as you can see, cancer incidence rates are higher for African Americans than they generally are for whites. Being a prostate cancer survivor, if I was to change that to prostate cancer, and indicate it's for African-American men is sometimes 5 to 6 times as high as it is for white men. And then on the other side, you know, black seniors that are on Medicare are more likely to go without their prescription drugs for a whole host of reasons, probably due mostly with costs and access as well. So I'm now going to focus on the Disparities Action Network. We had a case study that was developed by Families USA on a DAN in 2008, but the Disparities Action Network came into existence in 2006. You know, I also want to focus on that Massachusetts has been in the lead relative to healthcare reform for many years. So, again, Jakari's thing. As you can see here, in 1985, we started the uncompensated care pool. I put this one in here for Michael Dukakis. Then in 1988, we actually had universal health coverage in the state of Massachusetts when Michael decided that he was going to run for the president of the United States. So he put universal coverage in place in Massachusetts in 1988. All right, so that our 2006 was a repeat. You know, we had been there and done that. Michael was followed by, as Chris indicated, three Republican governors. I look out into the audience. I believe it was three, right? Three Republican governors that basically unraveled universal coverage in Massachusetts. '96, the state applied for a Medicaid waiver that allowed them to increase the number of people in Massachusetts who were covered by Medicaid, so that they were able to lift the poverty level, if you will, to make more people eligible, which was important to bringing that about. In 2001, Critical Mass was founded. It too was a partner with Healthcare for All for the creation of the Disparities Action Network. The Unequal Treatment Report came out in 2002. I talked about that. Healthcare for All, which is a local advocacy organization in Massachusetts, also created a coalition, many, many coalitions, but this was specifically Affordable Care Today, the ACT Coalition. As Chris indicated, we had a commission established in 2004, a commission to eliminate racial ethnic disparities in the Commonwealth. There was a legislative commission co-chaired by a state senator and a state representative. In 2005, under John's leadership, the mayor of the city of Boston actually developed the Disparities Project and announced that disparities was a major focus for the city. In 2005, the Attorney General of Massachusetts revisited community benefits in our state hospital, nonprofit hospitals have to make a contribution towards community benefits that impact on public health issues and public health problems in the state. This is also a piece of the Affordable Care Act that modeled Massachusetts. But the Attorney General actually started to tie community benefits programs directly to the elimination of racial ethnic disparities in the Commonwealth. In 2006, we had our seminal legislation, which was Massachusetts health reform that was the model for the nation. And in 2007, the DAM became very active and filed legislation through Representative Rushing for an act to eliminate racial ethnic disparities in the Commonwealth, and he had a variety of things associated with this. Critical mass came into existence, and we created this mnemonic for dealing with racial ethnic disparities in the Commonwealth. E stands for educate, L stands for legislate, investigate, and you can read the rest. Kill this kid. He actually saw my animation on this one. You know, the DAN is a organization of 75, a coalition of 75 organizations around the state that is focused on actual action around disparities. You know, we had this conversation as organizations and we were tired of talking about disparities, so that's why the emphasis on action to do something. And you can see from these sort of traditional health groups who was there. So Critical Mass as a founder, Healthcare for All also, a variety of organizations that came to the table, ultimately Action for Boston Community Development, where Roxanne works, the NAACP of Boston, CHEERS, the organization that I work for, the Medical Legal Partnership that started out of Boston City Hospital, just a variety of different groups, Alianza, SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. So there was a variety of different stakeholders that came to the table relative to this issue. The report came out from the commission in 2007, and here are four major areas in which they focused, which was the social context of healthcare delivery, the issue around access to healthcare, healthcare quality and delivery, and then a whole focus on workforce development, but from a perspective of diversifying that workforce to make it more reflective of the population of the Commonwealth. As indicated, Boston's mayor, for those who are from outside the city and the state, we have an election to replace Mayor Menino, who served as 20 years and has become known as the public health mayor. I don't want to say that the mayor shook down the teaching hospitals, but I think that's basically what had happened. And got money to actually focus on disparities in a significant way. And they actually focused on more around the determinants than traditional healthcare or even in public health. You know, issues around workforce, issues around violence and the like. Chapter 58 was our seminal legislation that was the model for the Affordable Care Act. And various sections that the DAN, you know, likes to highlight that we had a significant role in was around the Health Disparities Council. And again, I just showed what their focus was. The Healthcare Quality and Cost Council. And the concern here became that if we started to tie payment reform to outcomes and improvement in health, you know, and mechanisms that make it more advantageous for people to go with the healthier population, not unlike managed care. I mean, managed care basically did the same thing. I heard a term at the Medical Legal Partnership annual meeting on Monday, at which John was the keynote speaker, called cherry picking and lemon dropping. You know, and I knew what cherry picking was. That's when managed care came along. They picked the healthiest people and put them into managed care so that they could save money. But lemon dropping was a new one for me. And I actually talked about dropping people who are lemons and actually are going to, like, be a deterrent for you in terms of finance if, in fact, we start to tie payment to quality, to performance, or what have you. The people who are impacted in neighborhoods that don't have access to grocery stores, the people who are in neighborhoods with underperforming schools are going to continue to have these same kinds of problems. And our concern became, how do you lower costs but not ultimately impact on disparities as well? Then this whole notion of hospital performance rates. And then we also commissioned a community health worker study that's actually resulted in now an actual body that's looking at certification of community health workers in the state of Massachusetts. For our legislation, Representative Rushen filed it. We asked for Office of Health Equity to set at the level of the Secretary of Health and Human Services. We put in a community grants program, not unlike the transformation grants that are part of the Affordable Care Act. The whole notion of data collection around race, ethnicity, language, and what have you. Community health workers, community-based participatory research as a specific model. You know, we do have Boston as our hub and the capital of our state. And Boston has more NIH money than any city in the entire United States. So we decided that we need to focus on, you know, all that money is coming from NIH and see how it can also look at issues around racial, ethnic disparities in health, health literacy, workforce development, environmental justice, and then chronic disease management. So these were all components of the legislation that the DAN had filed through Representative Rushing. We've been active at the State House, and these pictures here are just sort of, well, it doesn't work. This is a student from a Community Voices program. She actually is a student at the high school, the Kennedy Academy, and she was at the State House. They had done Community Voices program, was focused on looking at photo voice as a research method, and ultimately using it for advocacy and informing legislators. So she now is at the University of Rhode Island on her way to medical school at some point. And then down here, go back, I don't know how to get back. Our governor showed up. And in the background, you can see Representative Rushing and Senator Susan Fargo, who were the co-chairs of the Health Disparities Council. Roxanne is going to talk a little bit more about that. So now, as the DAN, we decided that, you know, health reform had come along, payment reform was in the middle of being enacted, and DAN decided that they were going to really turn their attention to the social determinants of health. Education as a determinant of health, healthcare payment reform, disparities, mobilizing communities, school-based health and wellness care, poverty and socioeconomic position, transportation for equity and access, and tobacco advertising. And as a result, we've published a number of newsletters that had a focus on these issues, and then racism and racism and health. I guess Jakari wanted to add that one too. So our first newsletter actually focused on education as a key determinant. The newsletter also had a State House watch where we actually monitored the State House relative to legislation. There was a story also in there about the Kennedy Academy and the Massachusetts Association for School-Based Healthcare. You know, so we spent, you know, a month, you know, educating legislators about the connection between education and health. This whole notion of payment reform, as I indicated, Brian Rossman, who's a policy senior policy analyst at Healthcare for All, did a piece on us is what does it mean relative to payment reform, and actually highlighted some of the issues we had concerns about disparities increasing under that particular scenario. This was an advertisement for the Critical Mass Toolkit to do training of communities and mobilizing communities and increasing their awareness around racial ethnic disparities in health. Each of our newsletters features a particular member of the coalition, a member organization of the coalition. And then this final one was on school-based health centers, but also on the right-hand side, you can see the Public Health Commission introducing a film called Cracking the Codes, where we really looked at the issues around race, racism, and health. And with that, we're going to turn to Roxanne. This is me having a heated conversation with the governor.